Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Now and ever shall be.
granted your prophets strength to resist the temptations of the devil and courage to proclaim repentance. Give us pure hearts and minds to follow your Son faithfully, even into suffering and death. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Is what the Lord God showed me. Behold, the Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass by them. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah, and eat bread there, and prophesy there. But never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore figs. But the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, Go, prophesy to my people Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Show us your steadfast love, O Lord,
and grant us your salvation.
Let me hear what God the Lord will speak.
For he will speak peace to his people,
to his
saints, but let them not turn back to folly.
Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him,
that the glory may dwell in our hands.
Steadfast love and faithfulness meet.
Righteousness and peace kiss each other.
Faithfulness springs up from the ground,
and righteousness looks down from the sky.
Yes, the Lord will give what is good,
and our hand will yield its increase.
Righteousness will go before him,
and make his footsteps away. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Show us your steadfast love, O Lord,
and grant us your salvation.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, the first chapter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him,
We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That's why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said, he is Elijah. And others said, he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you. And he vowed to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half of my kingdom. And she went out and said to her mother, for what should I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, and brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the gospel of the Lord. What do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ,
the only begotten Son of God,
begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you. peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text, the first two verses from the Gospel reading, King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That's why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said, he's Elijah. And others, he's a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. This is our text. We have to step into the world of our text here, Mark chapter 6. John the Baptist, why everybody knew about him. John had a really big profile. His strange clothing, his funny diet had become the talk of the town. All the country of Judea and all Jerusalem had gone out to see him, to hear him, and to be baptized by him in the Jordan River. And the last we'd heard, at least in Mark's gospel, was that he'd been arrested, way back in Mark chapter 1. No details, no explanation of when, where, why, or how. Just that he'd been arrested. After that, Jesus came up north into Galilee, proclaiming the kingdom of God, sounding an awful lot like John the Baptist, saying, repent and believe in the gospel. Where we land in John chapter 6, they know John. But who's this Jesus guy? They didn't know much about him. Stories had begun to circulate. A demon cast out, a paralytic healed, a withered hand made whole, a dead daughter raised. His parables about the kingdom were spreading from mouth to mouth, a sower and his seed, a growing seed, a mustard seed. Even King Herod heard of it. King Herod, who didn't really care a whole lot about what was going on religiously, only that he ruled his kingdom. Jesus' name had come to his ears. Now, some were saying, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that's why these miraculous powers are at work in Jesus. And we say, wait, what? John the Baptist raised, but when did John die? However, when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. John? Beheaded? When did that happen? John's story is tied to the story of Jesus. And we've just sort of been dropped into the middle of it, into a moment when all the eyes and ears have turned from John the Baptist to Jesus, and they're trying to figure out if this is the same guy who with his head back, or if this is someone different. It's a moment of questioning, a moment of crisis. What do they make of this Jesus character? And that's when we get the rest of the details about John. Dead? Beheaded? It all started when Herod married Herodias. Don't get confused by the similarity of names. Herod is the man, Herodias is the woman. When Herod married Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. I wonder if John debated in his mind, like we do with these sorts of things, should I say something? Or should I just keep my mouth shut? Do I address the issue? Or do I go along with it? If I say something, can I get through to him? Or will I suffer for speaking the truth? John addressed it. He didn't hold back. He didn't waffle. He didn't try to be winsome or to measure out his words. He told Herod point blank, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And that's what landed him in prison. And that's where John was for a while, presumably where he would have been for a long while. Herodias, the wife, was nursing her grudge against him and wanted to put him to death. But Herod feared John, knowing that he was a prophet, a righteous and holy man. Herod kept John safe, in fact, in prison, He was even glad to listen to him from time to time, though he found John somewhat perplexing. But then the opportune time came. It was Herod's birthday. His niece danced. Must have been quite the dance. Herod makes a rash promise in front of the guests, and the girl brings back her request. I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist and put it on the platter. Garnish can be held. That makes Herod squirm. Now he's caught. He's caught now in this moment between his fear of John and that stupid oath. And notice she says at once. Herod won't have time. He can't go back on the decision he makes. The oath wins, John loses, and the head gets plated. It all ends with John's disciples recovering his body and laying it in a tomb. It's no wonder that the name of Jesus was giving Herod nightmares. A guilty conscience is like that. In the world and at times in us as well. The guilty conscience jumps at every sound. Does this explain why some people get so worked up whenever Jesus is mentioned? Does it help us understand why some people, maybe family and friends, want to hear nothing about him and will close their ears the moment you try to speak of Jesus? John dies a martyr's death. What I find interesting about this is that John wasn't martyred for confessing that Jesus is the Christ. He wasn't martyred directly for being a Christian, but he was martyred for confessing the truth. For confessing the truth about marriage. This probably isn't what John had in mind when he said, he must increase and I must decrease. What if decrease means arrest, imprisonment, getting smaller starting from the top down? That's how it went for John. He remained faithful to the one true God. He was willing to suffer all things, even death, rather than part from him. In word and deed, he remained true to the end. Being a Christian has to do with what we believe about Jesus. But being a Christian also has to do with what we believe more broadly about God, about his word, and about the reality of this world he made and has put us in. Just this week, I was talking to a member of the congregation about a job interview. He was asked how he would handle preferred pronouns in this job. He responded by saying something along these lines. I'm a Christian. I will treat others with respect and with honesty and truth. It was a beautiful response. Not trying to shy away, not trying to pretend. Not being overly offensive. We cannot live by lies. If we try to live by lies, we will shrivel up and we will shrink and we will die, spiritually first and then forever. We cannot tell lies like Herod, or about Herod was asking John to do. We can't tell Herod that it's fine for him to take up with his brother's wife. That would be a lie. We cannot live by pretending like the killing of unborn is medicine and health care. That would be a lie. We cannot live by saying that boys can become girls and vice versa. That also would be a lie. And there are, of course, many others like it that we are tempted to in this world. Tempted to because of our relationships with others. Tempted to lie about because of our work or our standing in the world. Here's the thing I can't promise you. I can't promise that you'll keep your family and your friends. I can't promise that you'll keep your job or your head. But I can promise you that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. I can promise you that whatever happens, it's the middle of a story that began long before you and will continue far into the future, into eternity. We come to the Father through Jesus Christ. And John isn't the only one or the last one to lose his head for Jesus. St. Paul, as well, was beheaded for confessing Christ. What John does and what happens to John give us a glimpse of what will happen to Jesus and what Jesus will do. And I want you to see here the comparisons. John comes as one who is proclaiming the word of God, not just in a small way, but in a broad and comprehensive way. Jesus comes as the one who is the very word of God in the flesh. John comes proclaiming what is true and being imprisoned for it and having his head taken off. Jesus comes proclaiming what is true, confessing himself, and he is hung on a cross for it. John is taken off the cross by his friends and disciples and laid in a tomb. John is taken from his beheading and laid in the tomb. Jesus is taken off the cross, and he is laid by his friends and disciples in a tomb, but only for 3 days. John the Baptist was not risen from the dead when Herod was afraid, but Jesus was most certainly risen from the dead on that third day. The tomb was empty, and the one who is the Lord of life and of death was alive forevermore. And there Jesus prepares the way for John the Baptist, and he prepares the way for us. His body laid in the tomb is not the end. It is the beginning. It is the start of the new creation. As St. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus Christ risen from the dead is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And if he's the first, there will be more. Jesus is the one who prepares the way by rising from the dead. He has prepared the way for John the Baptist and for you and for me. John is not risen yet, but we believe that when Christ returns in glory on the last day, that we and all believers will be raised to eternal life, and that includes John, head reattached. Amen. His confession does not end in death. His confession ends in life. I know as we go into the world, into our lives and our work and schools and whatever it might be, it can be a moment of fear, a moment of challenge, a moment of wondering, do I say this or do I say that? Do I stick my neck out or do I pull my neck in and hide? Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the one whom you follow is not dead, but he is alive. And he is risen from the dead, and he has promised that same resurrection for you. Whatever happens in the middle of your story, it was a story that began long before you when John the Baptist was imprisoned and beheaded and buried, and it began long before that as a plan of God the Father in the fullness of time. And the story goes on into the future, beyond whatever the moment is that you're in. It goes on into the life of the world to come, into the new heavens and the new earth, and our bodies risen from the dead and alive with Christ forever. You see, this moment that causes such trouble for us, questioning and crisis and fear and all of that, this is but one moment in this amazing, tremendous story of our God. Before John spoke a single word of proclamation, before John said anything to Herod, God was at work, and he was at work to bring about the resurrection of all the dead on the last day through the resurrection of Jesus. And that's what gave John the confidence to proclaim that uncomfortable word to Herod, because he knew the end of his story was in God's gracious hands. Even while Herod's executioner prepared his blade to behead John, Jesus was fulfilling the Father's will. While John's corpse was laid in a tomb, the tomb of Jesus was as good as empty. We are living now in the middle of the story, in this one moment of time, in this grand picture. St. Paul described it as the plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in heaven and on earth in Christ. And John said that we have been sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. An inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade. John's and yours and mine. This is the moment we have, but in this moment we are not alone. This moment is the one that continues from the moments that have come before and those that lie ahead, under the providence and promises of our gracious God, with Christ crucified and risen from the dead at the center. And so when you face these things, when you are confronted by these moments of decision, how to address the lies of the world, you can say this: this is the day the Lord has made. Today is the day of salvation. Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, is my Lord, and he lives and reigns to all eternity. In his name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the needs of the church and of the world. Preserve your church, O Lord, for your name's sake. Answer us in your righteousness and faithfulness. Since you have placed us in this world to testify to your word, give us strong conviction and confidence to confess that salvation is found in the forgiveness of sins through Christ Jesus alone. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of the church, we commend to you all ministers of your word. Make them zealous and faithful, that through their service your kingdom would grow. Turn the hearts of all who hear from the love of sin to the love of you. Remember in mercy Matthew, our synod's president, Robert, our district president, and Paul, our circuit visitor. Grant them wisdom in their work and joy in their callings. Send laborers into your harvest. Lord, in your mercy. Bless your word everywhere you plant it, but especially in the children who attended our vacation Bible school, that it may take root, grow, and bear much fruit throughout their lives. Lord, in your mercy. Preserve your blessed estate of marriage, O Lord. Let chastity be prized among your Christians and honored also in the world. Bind husband and wife together in love and forgiveness. Equip them by your Spirit with every good gift to care for and teach the children you give. Bless Carly, Liz, Casey, Stephanie, Annie, and all expectant mothers with good health and strength. Sustain those who are single with deep friendships, contentment, and ways of serving others. Comfort all widows and widowers, and give peace to those who bear the cross of infertility. Lord, in your mercy. You, O Lord, are King over all the earth. You bring ruin on wicked nations and their rulers, and are no respecter of persons. Spare our nation and its leaders, O Lord. Grant safety and protection to all officials and political candidates.
Let the conduct of our civil servants and of our people be wise, just, and honorable, in accord with your revealed will. Restrain political violence in our midst, and for the sake of Christ, be merciful to those who oppose you, and remember that you desire all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Lord, in your mercy, emboldened by our adoption through Jesus Christ, O Father, we bring before you every need of body and soul. Grant the riches of your grace and healing to Marilyn as she recovers from her infection, care to recovering from pneumonia, Michelle in her weakness and limited days, Debbie with her heart issues, John, delivering him from the infection and providing strength for Stephanie and their family. Provide as well for Bobby, Sienna, Rosemarie, Paul, Kimberly, Audrey, Rose, Nancy Jane, Eric, and Joan, each according to their need. We thank you for your care of Debbie in her surgery rehab and for bringing Cadence home from the hospital. Sustain her and her parents in your peace. Lord, in your mercy. You have blessed us, O Father, in your beloved Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. As you have sealed us with the promised Holy Spirit for an eternal inheritance in him, bring us now in repentance and faith to receive his sacrament and be strengthened to life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. Author of life, as the disciples of John laid his body in a tomb in hope of the resurrection of the dead, so lead us to respect the bodies of the saints in life and death, at all times confessing by word and deed our confidence in the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, Heavenly Father, join these our prayers and praises with those of your faithful people in every time and in every place. Unite them in the ceaseless petitions of our great high priest until he comes again on the last day. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy.
Oh,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm for today is Psalm 85, starting at the first verse. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger. Restore us again, O God, our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation.
Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Upon you and give